Judges chapter 7. I want to share a record that I've titled many different things through the years: the miraculous rolling of the donut, the phenomenon of the bagel. There's a lot of different names for this. But when we started a few nights ago, or days ago, I opened by sharing on following, obeying, listening, believing, and so on. And it seems like that's been a thread all through the week. And I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about how, like in school, if you want a good grade, you have to study. You listen, you obey, and you get a good grade. Or you don't listen, you don't study, and you get a bad grade. Or at work, wherever you work, you're asked by your boss certain things to do, and if you do them well and if you do them with heart and love, like the word says, you'll have a successful time at your job. You'll probably get a promotion. They'll probably really like you. But if you don't do what's asked of you to do, you won't get the blessing of that job. You'll complain, you'll moan, you'll whine. It's no different with God's word. We hear it, and there is a big difference. One, it's God's word, and it's always true. Your teacher might not always be true, or your employer, but God's word's always true, and he's never done any one thing to harm us. He's always been there to help us. He's heard it in manifestations. He cannot lie. How about that? We're so accustomed to lies. Don't ever bring that God's way. He doesn't lie. So I want to read a record about Gideon and how he was a great man of God, but he was a man. He was a human being. Sometimes I think we get these images of these people in the Word of God that they're supermen. They were humans. The only one that never blew it was Jesus. And so everyone else, and even Jesus Christ, he had to deal with a lot of things. He had to check his brain with the Word and with God. He did it perfectly. He's the only one. Judges 7, verse 1. Now Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, I'm glad they did that, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So oftentimes that's a problem of humans, where we figure something out, or so we think, and then we vaunt ourselves up because of the things that we figured out and the success we had as a result of it. Well, here, they had a lot of men. God says, nah. Because what you're going to do is you're going to brag about how great you were. All right? So, verse 3. Now, therefore, and what's the next word? Go. How often has a rise and go or send and all those things come up during this week? Now, therefore, go. And this is God telling Gideon this. Go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let them return and depart early from the Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained how many? So, it returned 22,000, and there remained 10,000. What's 10,000 and 22,000? 32,000. And so, out of the 32,000, God said, anybody that's afraid, they can go back to their house. How loving of God. So 22,000 people were afraid, so they went back home. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. You still got too many. Bring them down to the water, and I'll try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. In other words, whoever I tell you go, it's going to go with you. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people into the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, every one that boweth down to drink upon his knees to drink, boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thy hand, and let all the other people go, let them go unto this place. You know why he did that? Because so many of these people were accustomed to bowing down to other gods and everything else. That's why he sent those people back. The other people that just took the water and put it in their mouth, he kept 300 of them. The other ones were used to bowing. You get it? All right. So he's got 300. He's gone from 32,000 men to 300. That's quite a deduction. So the people took their victuals, food in their hand, and their trumpets. And of course, you guys know from watching so many movies that trumpets are one of the most effective weapons in time of war. And he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath them in the valley. And it came to pass the same night. It's kind of cool. This is like Revelation, the way it works. You know, he tells them something, they do it, and then he will tell you some more. They do it, then he may tell you some more. Now he's telling them, Gideon, some more. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said, arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. There you have the word of the Lord. He says, get up, arise, and go. Again, get up and get thee down. Go wipe them out. But, and this is so wonderful of God, he said, but if thou fear to go down, go with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. Wow. Gideon has listened to God all the way through here. And he said, go down and get him. And then God said, but if you're still a little afraid, take Phurah down there with you. Go on. He knew Gideon was a little bit afraid. So God knows sometimes when we're a little bit afraid. But he'll help you through it if you let him. And thou shalt hear what they say. He said, take Phurah down. I wonder who Phurah was. And thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. So he's saying, take Phurah with you. You're going to go down there and you're going to hear something that's really going to help you. It's really going to help you. And so he does. He does. And so he takes Phurah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. Verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. There was just countless people. They were there like grasshoppers. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea for multitude. You get the picture? You know, you guys, a lot of people have seen Lord of the Rings and all those silly movies and where you just, they have these images of just countless people. You know, it's hard to fathom. All these people. So, here's what we got. We got all these people that are the bad guys. And when Gideon was come, so he did what he was told, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I've dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent and smote it, that it fell and overturned it in the tent, lay along. The miracle of the bagel. The donut that did it. I don't even know what barley bread is. Bob can tell you. But what a crazy thing. You're walking by. You got to be pretty quiet if you're Gideon and Phurah. And they're walking by and they hear this guy talk about a dream they had of this this wonderful barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and wiped it out. And his fellow, verse 14, answered and said, "This is nothing else but save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Can you imagine, out of all these grasshoppers and camels or whatever, like the sand of the sea, you're walking around. I can't get up. I can, but I'm not supposed to. You're walking around, and you don't want them to know you're Gideon. And they just happen to hear this man describe a dream of a giant donut that wiped out all of Midian, and the response was, "Oh, this is nothing but the sword of Gideon and of Joash, a man of Israel, for his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host." Well, what do you think that did to old Gideon? You think that blessed him? You think that comforted him? God did that extra special. He didn't have to do that, but he worked with that fella because he knew that that fella believed him. He believed him. He just was having a little trouble in this situation, but he was a faithful man. He believed God, but he was a little scared, so he provided Phurah. They walked down, and out of all the, how many people, I don't know, but God describes it as many as grasshoppers and camels as the sand of the sea. That's a lot. Here he hears this one wonderful phenomena of the bagel. So let's see what happens. "And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped." He took the time. He took the time. God gave him the answer, but he still took the time to pray. He took the time to thank God. He took the time. Who taught on Nehemiah? Michael? You? Michael? Yeah. So, in that record, I think it's chapter 3 in Nehemiah, or old Sanballat, and they're making fun of him, and they're being sarcastic and everything else. He took the time to pray, too, before he went all Gideon. Before he got all wild, he prayed. Here, Gideon did the same thing. He thanked God. Too often, you pray for something for 32 years, God gives you the answer, and then you forget all about God. You got your answer, you're all happy, and then you just forget about being thankful, or you forget about thanking him, or whatever. Gideon took the time, and he worshipped, and he returned unto the host of Israel and said, "Arise." Well, there's those words again. Get up. "The Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian." And I want to tell you something else. If you're not used to listening to your parents or your employers or your spouses or whatever, you're going to have a real hard time hearing from God. You got to get used to listening. You got to get used to listening to humans. If we're ever going to hear from God, we got to be pretty good at it in life. I mean, God will still do stuff because he's God, but if you're accustomed to listening and seeking counsel and listening what the counsel is and doing what it is without arguing, without complaining, without moaning, then you're in good shape. It's a good thing to do. The word says a lot of things. Okay, I'll keep going here. But he said, "The Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian," and he divided the 300 men into three companies. So you got 100 here, you got 100 there, and you got 100 there in the other place. Now look at what Gideon does to get these guys ready for war. And he does it by revelation. I'm sure God told him. He put a trumpet in every man's hand and empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. So here comes these guys, 300. They got a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher and a lamp in the other hand. And he said unto them, look on me, do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Those are crazy instructions. 5 senses wise, those don't make any sense at all. It tells me something about Gideon. They loved Gideon. They'd seen Gideon. They've observed Gideon. They've watched Gideon. They trust Gideon because of his example, because of his life, because of who he was. They trusted him. And so, although 5 senses wise, reading this, it looks like a very weird thing. Trumpet, a pitcher with a... It's a weird. But these are the instructions. So, Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets. And they break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the 3 companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. Well, normally there were big companies that were represented by 1 trumpet. They have 300 trumpets. So what do you think the enemy thinks? He thinks that all these trumpets represent different companies. I don't know about the crashing of the lamp, but that's what they did. They did it, and then they yelled out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp and all the host. Why'd they do that? Because Gideon didn't move. They had their eyes on Gideon. Whatever he did, they did. They followed. They listened. They obeyed. I can't overemphasize the importance of that. In my life, in anybody's life that has a desire to walk with God. These weren't things that were standard procedure. These were way outside of the box. And a lot of times, God will give you certain truths or facts that are humanly impossible by your senses to know anything. It's way outside of the box. Me asking Lisi to stand on her head was stupid. But she got healed. So, a trumpet, a lamp. Blow the trumpet, break the lamp, watch Gideon. So they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried. They're freaked out, and the 300 blew the trumpets. And every man set his sword against his fellow, even throughout the whole host, and the host fled to Beshitta. That's a bad place to go. In Zarephath, and another border of that place unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher. And so, guess what? The Midianites killed themselves. They freaked out. I don't know what happened. I don't know how it happened. It doesn't matter how it happened. But these guys, all they had to do to fight this war was blow a trumpet and crack a light or something. All because of the miracle of the donut. Just kidding. They listened. They got the result of following. They got the result of obeying. Gideon listened to God. Even though Gideon was afraid, God worked with Gideon and told him what to do because he knew Gideon's heart. Just like he knows your heart. Sometimes we get shook. That's okay. Like Dr. said in that Living Victoriously and Believing, it's just your stupid flesh. It's okay. Just keep bringing yourself back to the Word, to the Word, to the Word. Bring your thoughts to God. Bring your thoughts to His Word. It's okay. I get shook too. But dang it, I fight. I fight for my brain to think the Word, even if I'm shaken, even if I'm confused, even if I'm hurt. Hurt's a rough one. But gosh dang it, God will help your hurt. Stay in there with Him. God will heal you. God will deliver you. Just keep going back. Make it a habit. Habit, habit, habit. I was an athlete. I played a lot of sports. And I worked really hard at all the fundamentals of the foundations of all those sports. If it was basketball, it was layups and free throws, you know, dribbling, passing. If it was football, you know, I was a receiver, you know, it's, you know, doing your patterns over and over and over and over again. If it was baseball, you know, just playing catch, throwing to different places, different spots, practicing by myself, seeing how far I could go in the outfield and hit just the corner of the rim of the infield. I could do that. Bunt, 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 hit to right field. All this fundamental. I did it for stupid sports. And if I had the body left, I could still do those things because they were habitual in my life. I could still shoot a free throw, but that's about as far as everything goes. You know, but how about the Word? What do you do when you wake up in the morning? What do you think? Where's our thoughts? You get so busy, you rush into the day that you forget about praying. I refuse to get out of my bed until I am in fellowship with God. Until I pray, until I am satisfied that I'm in fellowship with God. Now, sometimes I get up 2-3 in the afternoon, but, you know. I won't get out there. It's dangerous out there to me. It's a crazy world. It's a goofy world. It's not a good place out there. It's mean. It's run by the devil. I want to have my life together. Now, I'm just talking about Gideon was a man who God knew his heart. He was a little shook. He was a little shook. God knew it, and He helped him. Just like He'll help us. Go to God. Go to God. Ask Him for help. Don't be prideful. Go to God. I'm so big. What can I do? What can I do? I can't make a snowflake. I can't make it rain. I can't do anything. I can't grow a cubit. But I can believe God. I can trust God's word more than any human, more than anything in this world, because it's really the only thing that's true. And if you ever go for advice from people, which you commonly do, some of you young people spend too much time doing that. You just run around in circles. You don't get to the word. You're like, oh, it's okay. You just don't understand it. Come on. The word of God should be good enough. If the word of God isn't good enough, then what is my fine counsel going to do? And that should be our only rule of faith and practice, God's word. And we all need help. We all need help. We all need help. I am not afraid to talk to Joe or Steve or Bob or Michael or Diane to get help. I do it constantly. These guys do too, pretty much. And that's one of the reasons it works so well here. There's not one king or, you know, pope. You've seen that this week. We've had 12 different teachers. And by the way, I think this is the finest week Harbor Light Fellowship's ever had in the Word. I don't think it's even close. It's just the teachings of God's Word this week have just been superb and needful. You know, a person could give a fantastic teaching, but it has nothing to do with what the heart of the matter is, which is our hearts. And what we need. It's all been here for all of us. It blows my mind how good God is. So, that's one of my great sharings. Let's go to another one. Acts 10. So Gideon did exactly what he was told from the time that he knew that he had to go against the Midianites. God said, this is too many people. So Gideon listened, and 22,000 people went back to their places. Then he took them down by the riverside, and the people that bowed, they went home. 300 people with a trumpet and a pitcher. Gideon was still a little afraid. God provided Phurah and this incredible dream that this guy spoke about, and Gideon was then really set. He was set. And you know, in life, sometimes when we have an opportunity, we get part of the answer, and then part of the answer, and then part of the answer, and then it's done. If you just be patient. Somebody taught on rest. Bob. I did not like what he shared on rest. No drinking, no vacations, no movies, no nothing. It's like, what the heck is going on? I can't, what? That's not what he said, but I kind of pretended, what is he saying? So now when I go on vacation, I'm going to feel bad? Oh, yeah. When I go on vacation with Diane, we bring like 20 transcripts and read God's word all day to load up. I'm not kidding. That's what we do, and we witness. So it's like a relocation with the word with no friggin' telephones, which is really nice. That's relaxing. Love that, Bob. Chapter 10 of Acts. Here is the record of Cornelius and Peter and how the Gentiles got the word for the very first time. It says in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. A devout man. Look at what it says about Cornelius. And he was a Gentile. He was not born again. He was a devout man and one that feared God. He respected God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. So one thing we know about Cornelius is he prayed all the time, which I think about the first day that we were here, and I talked about what Dr. Werewolf said to me. Can you pray? Can you believe? And this man, Cornelius, prayed a lot. And he saw in a vision, evidently. Evidently means clearly. He saw it clearly or openly. About the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Cornelius was praying. He was used to praying. He was a faithful man of prayer. And all of a sudden, one day, God sends him an angel. And the angel said, we've heard your prayers. Listen to what the angel said. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon, a tanner. There's two Simons. Whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel, which was spake to Cornelius, was departed, he called two of his household servants and devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent him to Joppa. Did the angel tell him what was going to happen? No, he did not. He just said, get up and go to this Simon Tanner guy and talk to the other Simon. He didn't tell him what to do. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. Too often we are too demanding. You know, we want to know everything right now, real quick. We have to know all the answers. Baloney! Take a drop. Enjoy the drop. Keep moving. Get another one, maybe. Get a little more. But, man, if you freak out when God does tell you to do something that might not seem like something you want or the answer you might have all figured out already, you're never going to really walk with God like that in a supernatural way. God will talk to you, but are you going to listen? Do we follow? Do we obey? Cornelius was not born again, but he loved God. He prayed to God always. Sent an angel. The angel told him what to do. He didn't say what was going to happen. Well, so he did it. It says, and he sent them to Joppa. Again, arise and go. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to do what? A lot of praying going on. Peter went to the housetop to pray about noon. And he was hungry and would have eaten. But while the people downstairs were cooking it up, he fell into a trance. It means he had a vision. He saw something. God sometimes will show you pictures. He can do that and will do that at times. And he shows this incredible revelation to Peter. He saw heaven opened. I don't really know what that means, but it says he saw heaven opened. It seems like that would be wild enough for me. And a certain vessel. It doesn't say a boat, but I always have this picture of a boat. I don't know. It could have been a Maserati. I don't know. A certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down the earth. I see this vessel with this floating sheet coming down. This is what God is showing him. I'm not making this up. I don't know exactly what any of it looked like. I know what a sheet looks like to me. I could see knit on four corners, and I could see it coming down from the sky. Who was that Arabian guy that used to float on the carpet? Aladdin. Yeah, kind of Aladdin on a sheet. Only no Aladdin, just a sheet. I don't know. You figure it out. So, let down the earth. So here comes this thing. Down from heaven, Peter's looking at this, where were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, first of all, that Peter even heard that after seeing these things, I would have been, what? And Peter had the sense of mind, or the sense to say, uh-uh. No, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. He was a good Jew. He never ate anything that was common or unclean. There was very strict food restrictions in to be a Hebrew or Judean or whatever. And the voice spake to him the second time, what God has cleansed, that call not thou uncommon. And he said it three times. God's trying to get through to him three times. And again, God wouldn't have done this if he thought Peter was a schmuck and that he was blowing him off. He knew Peter was having a little difficulty with this sheet with all these animals on it. And then take, eat, Peter. It's totally against all of his five senses, which so oftentimes revelation is. And so oftentimes the written word is. It's contrary to our senses. It's contrary to our surroundings. It's contrary to our understanding. It's contrary to all our thoughts. That's why in that Living Victoriously and Believing, or In Christ's Name, Dr. Earl says, you wonder why it's so hard at times to believe, because we're in an antagonistic what? World that's surrounded by, that's controlled and surrounded by devil spirits. They run this world. God knew Peter's heart. Peter was having a tough time with this, but God was really trying to make sure he could get through to Peter. And so three times, and the vessel, then it went up into heaven. Now, verse 17, while Peter was troubled, doubted, this means he was considering. He was thinking about what the heck. I would too. What was that? He knew it was God. He knew it was God showing him something. He knew what God said, but he's trying to put it together. What the heck? So he's considering in himself what this vision he had seen should mean. Behold, the man which were sent from Cornelius, remember Cornelius sent men to his house, had made inquiry of Simon's house, and look at the timing. Peter's getting this revelation right as these men are walking to Peter's house and stood before the gate, and they called, because that's what they did then. They didn't have doorbells. They said, hey, is Peter there? Peter! He asked whether Simon Peter, surnamed Peter, was lodged there. And while Peter was thinking on this vision, he was thinking about what he had just seen, God said unto Peter, behold, three men seek thee. Arise. How about that word again? Arise, get up, therefore, and get thee down and what? Arise and go. Arise and go. Arise and go. Go with them. Don't doubt anything, because I sent them. Wow. What does Peter do? Well, he goes down to the men that were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I'm he who you seek. What's the cause therewith you're come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, one that feareth God and has good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into the house and to hear words of thee. Cornelius sent us to you so that he could hear the words of thee. Man, you talk about God working in two different camps and them coming together for something that's beautiful. It's fantastic. Then called he them in and lodged them. So they spent the night, and on the morning, Peter went away with them. So he's doing what God said. He's arising and he's going. Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and called together his kinsmen and near friends. Cornelius had set this big meeting up with all his friends, with all his relatives. It was a big Italian feast, is what I'm thinking. And he has all these people waiting for Peter, this man Peter. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, verse 25, and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. You know, that was a sign of respect and stuff like that. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And he talked with him and went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that's a Jew to keep company or to come into one another nation. But God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. It's starting to become clear to Peter why God showed him this. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man, the angel in bright clothing, said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance of the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, he did what he was told. I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, here's why we're here, Peter. Here's the deal. We're here, present before God, to hear all that are commanded thee of God. I feel like that in these kind of situations, like camps or advances, even fellowships, people are coming to hear what God has to say to them at that time. I totally believe that. And that what's shared is needful and will be delivering and healing to such a great extent. As a believer, Jerry Carr, when I do a fellowship, I think that way. When I come to one of these things, it's really a blessing for me because I get to hear so much of the Word of God that I know, I believe, I trust, just with no doubt that God has this thing set up for me. I'm selfish when I hear the Word, I must admit, because I believe everything is just for me. When you have that kind of attitude, you're going to get what you need. And I tell you, I've sure been blessed by hearing God's word this week. How about you? And he knows what's going on. You know what I do to prepare for these things? Pray and believe. I don't have these master teachings. Well, as you can tell, I don't have these masterful teachings. But I know my Father. That much I know. Yeah, well, so do you. What verse am I in? 33. Immediately, therefore, I sent unto thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we're all here, present before it, to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. And I again, that's how I feel about these meetings. Whether it's a fellowship in somebody's heart, it don't matter. And it doesn't matter who's singing the song as long as it's rightly divided. I know it's for me. It's for me. And this has been tailor-made for you as an individual. Me too. Then Peter, it was like, okay. He must have been blown away by the expectation. He must have been blown away by the hunger that sat in that room. Boy, Romans 1. I got to read this. It reminds me of how a minister, you can keep your finger coming, a minister's relationship with the believers is supposed to be. And Paul writes by revelation, verse 11, for I long to see you. Oh, man, as soon as we got the list of all the people that were coming to camp, that list was distributed all over the place so that all the fellowship coordinators, so people would be praying for you every day, a week or two before this thing started, every day. What great preparation. So, Paul longed to see you. Plus, it also brings great anticipation when you're reading about all, you know, you're reading all these names and you're thinking of them. And then, you know, we always make the calls, well, who is this person? Who is this? Where? I don't know them. And, you know, it's awesome. And then we pray. It's cool. Making requests, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, some benefit, you know, gift of grace, to the end that ye may be established. So Paul's heart was that he could share with the Romans something that would really, really bless them, really help them in their walk with God or whatever they would need. And then he goes further, that is, I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and of me. I can't tell you what those scriptures do for me. That's the heart of a real minister. Not just to give, but also to receive what's there with God's people. Letting people in their life. Letting people help them. How many times did Paul ask for prayer? How many times do you ask for prayer? Back in Acts. So, once Peter heard that he was there to, that Cornelius and all these guys were here to hear the things that are commanded of God, Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And for us reading that now, it doesn't mean much because we live in America, the United States of America, Estados Unidos. We have everybody from everywhere all around the world comes to the America. So for us to think that, it's not such a stretch. But then, it was really a stretch because the Gentiles were considered dogs. They, Jews, had no dealings with them whatsoever. And for Peter to get to this conclusion because of God, and that I call it progressive revelation, it's not accurate biblically probably, but, you know, him walking through this whole thing, finally it hit him. Wow! God's no respecter of persons. Whoa! But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That must have blown Peter's mind. And it certainly must have blessed Cornelius and those Italians. Spaghetti for everybody. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He's Lord of all. That word, I say thee, you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God, look at this, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, which is power, who went about doing good. Jesus Christ went about doing good. So Paul's witnessing, or Peter's witnessing, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And the devil is the one who causes oppression. The devil's the one who causes depression. He's the one who makes people sick. He's the one who kills people. He's the one who is our enemy all the way. And here it says, Jesus Christ healed all those who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we here are witnesses of things which he did. We were with Jesus in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him, and here it is, boy, the resurrection, the resurrection. Go out tomorrow. Go on. We do this all the time. It's periodically. We'll get 50 people, and each of us will ask 10 people randomly someplace how to get born again. Boy, oh boy. You think they know? We assume they do because it's such a fabric of our being, but they don't even know how to get born again very much. Not too many people know how to get born again. They say, well, I'll believe in Jesus. Well, that's nice, but that's not how to get born again. Sorry, that's not it. And I'm sure God has let some of them get born again because he's God. But man, we need to tell people how to get born again. Here he is doing it. Him, God raised up the third day, showed him openly, showed him plainly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God. Even to us who, we ate. These guys are sitting there listening. We ate and drank with Jesus. Imagine that. After he rose from the dead. We ate with him after he rose from the dead in his resurrected body. And he commanded us to preach unto the people. You heard Dr. Werwell after he taught for 2 weeks. Sometimes 5 hours a day. He sure didn't look too tired. Preach a word, 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 preach a word. With boldness, with boldness, with boldness, with boldness, with boldness. Why? Because that's what's needed. It's still needed. You're going to tell me there's people out there that don't want God, don't want his love. I, to this day, think anyone who doesn't want what we have to offer is absolutely insane. We are not asking for a membership. You don't have fees, except in our fellowship, I have late fees. They have to pay if they're late. They got to pay. No, just kidding. There's no obligation. There's no membership or any of that stuff. We tell people about peace. We tell people about God's power. We tell people how healing God is. We tell people that they could have everlasting life, that they could have joy, that they could have a heart that's tender, that their hurt could be healed. Who, in the name of Jesse James, in their right mind, would not want this? We need to have that attitude when we speak the word, not as arrogant people, but man, people who want to help people. I am flabbergasted when people don't want it. I just am blown away. Because what do we have to offer? Except life and love and heart. I mean, I would go to your house in 10 seconds because of your life and who you are. You're just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Yeah. So he ate and drank with them. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive. And remember, that's that word manifest in the manifestation, receive in the manifestation, remission of sins. And boy, how about that to offer to people? People are so guilt-ridden, even some of you are guilt-ridden, and you got no reason to be guilt-ridden. It's over with. It's done. It's done. It's done. Jesus Christ came so that we wouldn't have to be guilt-ridden. Your past is just that, past. Anyway, receiving the manifestation, that beautiful forgiveness of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. Wow. This is a house full of people. It's not just Cornelius. People received, and that again, in the manifestation, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. Sorry, I was looking at the verse before that. While he spake, the Holy Spirit fell on all of them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed. Remember, Peter brought people with him. He brought six people with him as witnesses, which was so sharp because, first of all, they're not to have any dealings with the Gentiles, let alone now go speak the word to them. So he brought these guys with him so that they could witness what was going to happen, even though Peter really didn't know what was going to happen, but he was sharp enough to take six witnesses, which were astonished. The guys that came with Peter were blown away, really blown away, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know how they knew? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There's very few things, if anything, that we can do perfectly. Speaking in tongues is one of them. The more you speak in tongues in your private prayer life, the more dynamic your life will be, the more susceptible, and the more your ear will be close to the heart of God. Speaking in tongues, that's what they heard to prove that they were born again, to prove that they got the same spirit that they did on the day of Pentecost. So here's these Gentiles, these dogs, all of a sudden getting born again. Can any man forbid water? And it goes on. But they got born again, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, because Peter listened to God, even though it was totally contrary to his senses, even though it was just whacked out to his senses. It was nuts. Cornelius and his household and his friends also got born again because Cornelius listened to God and did exactly what he was told. Obeying, following, listening, hearing, all those things flow together. We got to get accustomed. The word of God is good enough. No matter what the situation, the word of God is good enough. Isaiah 58. We close here. Yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, Joe shared, and he shared a lot. I hardly can wait to hear the tape on that. But actually, I hardly can wait to hear the tapes on all these teachings. I would just like to think about one teaching, you know, like for a week or a month, and then go to the next one, because they were all so good. This morning, I was thinking of Sid. I was like, oh, my God. What word? Well, it's so spoiled. But Joe said yesterday, and this isn't a quote, but you know, how much was it yesterday? I don't know. About how, you know, what makes a person a believer isn't how they hug or how they pray or the impressive teachings and all that stuff. That's not it. And I thought about that last night, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to share this, because this chapter here is really the true fast of what God had in mind, and I want to read it. And it also shows in a wonderful way the difference between religion and the stuff that Joe mentioned versus what God really wants. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression in the house of the Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and they delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why? Wherefore we fasted, they say, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our soul, but thou takest no knowledge? They're complaining. They're whining. They say, well, we love God. Why isn't God doing anything? I've given up certain things. Why isn't God doing anything? Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, you fast for strife and debate. Whenever there's an abundance of religion, there'll be an abundance of arguments. There'll be abundance of complaints. There'll be an abundance of fights and stuff like that. I'll tell you something, man. I'm so blessed to live here, and I'm so blessed to be. I am a spoiled brat. We have people that just, we get along. And if we have differences, we either settle the differences or we put them aside because it's just not worth it. We're into this for the word and for the love of God. But hold your fast for strife and debate. That means fights and arguments. And to smite with the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day. This isn't the right fast to make your voice be heard on high. You know, the elegant prayer, it's in Luke where, you know, this guy, he prays, I fast all the day, I give all my money, I am not like this sinner, you know. Really? God said, who got blessed? The other guy, not the guy who was bragging about how great his prayer was or whatever. Is it such a fast that I've chosen, God's saying? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? You know, to look really humiliated. I've sinned before God. Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day of the Lord? That's a figure of speech, meaning no. I don't know. I can never pronounce those figures of speeches. I like the polypetaton, whatever that is. Is not this, now here, is not this the fast that I have chosen? This is God's fast. To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke. God said, isn't this my fast? This is my fast. Isn't this fast to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou mayest bring the poor that are cast out in thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? That's the fast. That's our lives. We help people get the chains off of their hearts. We help people with God's word and God's love to set them free so that they can walk. Yeah, you know, that word liberty in Galatians and other places just means free to go wherever you want to go, free to say whatever you want to say. That's freedom. That's the fast. And he said, as you do this, then when? After these things, the real fast, then shall thy light break forth as in the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, thy health, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward or thy protection. That's what we all want. We want healing. We want to wake up in the morning with a pep in our step. We want God to be our protection. Then, after you have the right attitude of heart, shalt thou call, and you'll actually get your prayers answered. You shall call, the Lord shall answer. Look at Cornelius. Then shalt cry, thou shalt cry, and he'll say, here I am. You know, 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care on him, knowing he cares for you. And I mentioned that the first night, how I think we're quick to cast our care on him, but we forget how much he cares for us. He's more willing to answer our prayers than we are to get them answered. He's more willing to heal us than we are actually of wanting to get healed. Settle down. Settle down. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Settle down. Here I am. He's going to answer. He'll say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking vanity. You know, I'm better than you. I know more than you. My ministry is better than yours. My leaders are better than yours. Theirs are not any good. Shut up. And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and the hungry are those people that are everywhere. They're everywhere. And satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light, look at this, then, having that heart, having that love, having that tender heart to want to bless God and others, then, look at this, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. He works in thee to willing to do of his good pleasure. We delight in him and he gives us the desires of our heart. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be, look at this, like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. I think of this a lot in light of what we're trying to do here. Generations. In New Jersey, we have 4 generations of believers. And that's pretty good considering the shape that this place is in, this world. And if we continue to do our best to love and to bless and to help, that's only going to get better. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing the pleasure of my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own what? Not doing it ourselves, not trying to figure everything out. Gosh dang it, man, you guys spend too much time trying to figure everything out. God has it figured out. The closer we can get to God's lips, the closer we can get to the words of God, the closer we are to overcoming whatever obstacle might be in our way. You can sit and write down lists, and you can sit and think all day long, dang it, dang it, dang it. There's nothing wrong with doing that, but it should be on the heels of the other. Not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, not speaking thy own words. Then, and there's a lot of thens in this chapter, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the inheritance of Jacob my father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. This is the true fast that God has given us. To help others be blessed, and for us to go to God for help ourselves. And when we do that, sin consciousness goes away. There's no room for it. Fear goes away. There's no room for it. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And when we're in alignment with God, we've got that love of God not just in our hearts to God, but more importantly, his love to us in manifestation, because we're accepting his love, his kindness, his grace. And I'll close in Galatians 5. And And when we're like that on a consistent basis and we do our best, this is what people will see when they see you and I. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, and the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the whole totality of the Spirit, from being born again to having all our legal rights, to operating the manifestation, to accepting what God has made us to be. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So, the end of this thing here, my prayer is that we can listen to God, that we can do what he wants us to do, that we can believe him, that we can pray for things to happen that are according to the word, that we can pray for others that they get healed and delivered, that we can help others, assist others with the heart of God. Because God is the big deal. And yet, it says in Deuteronomy that the Lord's portion is his people. So I want to close again. This is the third time. Just a thought. In Deuteronomy, maybe. Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 30. I read that the other day and it was kind of good. But what I was thinking of is in 32 verse 9, it says, the Lord's portion is his people. That's what he has invested as us. I mean, he doesn't have it in the birds. Jesus said that in Matthew 6 or somewhere. Go to verse 9 of chapter 30, and this is where we'll close. Again. Well, verse 8. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand. Well, believe that. In the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken, follow, listen, obey, unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments, his word, and his statutes which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Let's continue to love God with all our heart and soul, mind, and strength by listening, obeying, and believing his word. God, thank you so much for all you've done for us and all you continue to do for us because of your goodness and grace. Thank you, Father, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace, to have fellowship with you, to walk with you and talk with you and talk things over and get the help that we need. Pray, Father, for each and every one of us here, for our health, our strength, and that our minds are sound. Father, that your word has inspired us enough and your love this week that we will share your word with others and get blessed sharing. So we pray for everyone here, for their trips homes, that they're safe, that they could just think about how good you are. Thank you, God, for letting us be a part of this wonderful family, your family. In the name of Jesus Christ.